T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's a time of political transition in Illinois and, frankly, across the country as well. After all, there's a new president in the White House and a shift in power in the U.S. Senate. But here in Illinois, after decades under Michael Madigan, the Illinois House of Representatives has a new speaker, Emmanuel Chris Welsh, and he's not from Chicago. There's a relatively new Senate president, Democrat Don Harmon, and a new Senate Republican leader, Dan McConkey. And amid all the shifting sands, the Illinois Republican Party has a new leader as well. This weekend, we'll hear his vision for the state GOP. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guest this weekend is Don Tracy, chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. He was selected by his central committee in February. Don Tracy is an attorney and a businessman from Springfield, and he's the former chairman of the Illinois Gaming Board. Mr. Tracy is the first state GOP chairman from downstate since the late 1980s, and he succeeded former Cook County board member Tim Schneider, who had the post since 2014. He has been a political candidate. He ran, though unsuccessfully, for the Illinois Senate in 2002 and for lieutenant governor in 2010. Now, we continue to be socially distant. Couldn't be much more distant than this in the state. We are conducting this interview via Zoom conferencing, and Don Tracy is in Springfield, and welcome.
Glad to be here, Craig.
So how does someone with good, honest work end up getting involved in politics?
Well, my wife thinks there's something fundamentally wrong with me, but I've been a lawyer for, I'm in my 46th year, I believe, and I've been, working in the family business since I was 10 years old. Family business that my father started in 1960, in both capacities, but particularly, as a lawyer, I've helped lots of people over the years, in and out of difficult situations or doing the business. My brothers run the business, but I represent all of them. I have 11 brothers and sisters. So I've helped a lot of people as a lawyer. But in politics, you can help thousands, maybe even millions. And in politics, you can actually save lives. I've run for office, as you indicated, a couple times. So I know how hard politics can be. But I don't think there's anything ultimately more important. I think what really makes this country a great country is our political system. And this, to me, was an opportunity to be to continue and increase my involvement in politics, and to help make this great state a lot better.
Was there a particular race or a situation that really pushed you to this path? I mean, did something happen to make you say, "Hey, I could do this better, or I could do better with this"?
No, I don't think so, Craig. I mean, I've had an interest. I've been a history aficionado. I was president of the Abraham Lincoln Association. I'm a huge fan of Winston Churchill. And as a lawyer, lawyers take to politics like ducks to water, they say. So I've just had a huge interest in politics for a long, long time, although I didn't do anything about it until I was 50. And then I decided to run for state Senate. So, nothing really, except maybe 9/11. I mean, that probably inspired me as much as anything to really to get involved. Mostly I've had a lifelong interest, but I just didn't do anything about it until late in life.
Well, let's talk about what the nation is going through now. We're trying to crawl out of a pandemic. Democrats have veto proof or nearly so majorities in the legislature, and the tug of war between the moderate and right wings of the Illinois GOP seems to be about as intense as ever. So why would you want to lead Republicans in the state right now?
Craig, you're very creative, but that's not the first time I've had that question. That is the question. But you know, Illinois has a lot of potential as a state, but it's very dysfunctional right now. We have, I think Lincoln said that everywhere there's government, there is corruption, but in Washington, they have perfected it. I think to update that, the corruption has been perfected in Illinois over the years. We need good, honest Illinois government, and that's one of the reasons why I took the job to make it more honest. As a state, we're going down the wrong way. You know, we're going down, you know, towards, you know, more and more of fiscal insanity, higher taxes, less police protection, fewer jobs. There's a whole litany of ills. I mean, it just by every measure, Illinois is falling behind the other states of this great country. And so for me, as Republican chair, that presents an opportunity because I think the main problem with Illinois, politically speaking, and I think most people would actually agree with this, is that we're a one party state. And as I said before, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And we've seen that with all the Democrat senators that have been indicted of late, and Chicago aldermen, and just the huge, you know, litany of Democrat politicians that have been corrupted, and you know, not just Democrat politicians. There have been some Republicans as well, but it seems like, in terms of indictments, the Democrats just like they outnumber us in the House and the Senate. They certainly outnumber us in terms of indictments, and so I think the a step in the direction of making Illinois a more honest and better governed state is to elect more Republicans, and at least make the Republican Party a competitive party so that we can provide a check and balance on absolute Democrat power. And we have, go ahead, Craig.
No, I was just going to ask, how would you assess the Republican Party's ability at this point to become competitive? Fundraising, I know, has been a challenge in recent years. So, you know, what's the position that the party is in right now?
Well, if we don't unite the party, if we don't come together as a party, the chances are very poor. And for that reason, my job number one is to unite the party. But we showed that if we unite, good things can happen. For example, last fall, every wing of the Republican Party united to oppose Pritzker's unfair tax proposal. A tax referendum, and we won that, and won it soundly. And that just shows that when we unify, Illinois is a center-right state, and they will, and the Illinois voters will support Republican platforms. We also had success in the non-retention campaign of Justice Kilbride. A good man, but very much a liberal Democratic judge, supported heavily by former Chairman Madigan. Justice Kilbride was a liberal Democrat in a Republican district. So now with that non-retention, that seat is open for election this fall of 2022. And we think unless it's redistricted, and there are some issues there, unlike other redistricting, that suggest that they might not redistrict it. But if they don't, it's a good Republican district, and we have a great chance of electing a Republican there, and which could lead to a Republican 4-3 majority on the Illinois Supreme Court, a court that has blocked important reform in Illinois on many different occasions. We also were supposed to lose up to 10 seats or more in the House, the Illinois House, and we picked up, and we flipped a seat there, a net one seat. We got gained other seats, but lost a couple, but we flipped a net one seat there. So we've got some momentum going into the 2022 elections. And traditionally, that being an off a non-presidential year, Illinois Republicans tend to do better. So we're particularly if we're not the party in power in the White House. So there's good reason to be optimistic about the Illinois Republican Party for 2022. But as you pointed out, Craig, we have to have the resources to do that. Chairman Madigan, resigned as representative, then he resigned as speaker. I was walking to work here in Springfield in my downtown office on the 10th floor of the U.S. Bank building. And somebody was driving by in their Jeep, rolled the window down and yelled at me. He said, hey, Tracy. And I turned around and saw it was a friend of mine. And I said, yeah, what's up? He said, Tracy, you haven't been chairman for an entire month yet, and you already got rid of Madigan. sometimes, Craig, it's better to be lucky than good. But as a result, his power, historic power that he accumulated over 20 years in terms of political power and financial power, has been split between their new Democrat Party chair and the new House Speaker. And that new party chair, though, still inherited almost $20 million in funds, or eventually will inherit about $20 million in funds that Madigan controlled. I inherited about $200,000. So that's a 20-to-1 differential. Now, we don't need absolute parity to compete with the Democrats, but we do need to bridge that gap somewhat. And so that's another one of my jobs. So I'm calling large donors now, trying to reengage a lot of former donors to the party. But we also need the small donors. They've kept us going, and we need more of them. And so, anyone who can send in, say, $20, $25 a month to the Illinois Republican Party can help more than you you can imagine. But with those resources, we have a great staff. We'll build on that staff. We'll work on ballot integrity and improve our get out the vote effort and support Republican candidates throughout the state.
I wonder if having Michael Madigan leave isn't a bit of a two-edged sword, because frankly, Madigan has been a favorite target of the Republican Party for quite some time now. And having that target dispersed among several people, does that in some ways take away a hammer to hit the Democrats with?
Craig, you're so right. It's definitely a two-edged sword. I like to joke about only taking a month to get Mike Madigan to resign, whereas the party's been working on it for over 10 years. But it has been true. He has been our favorite target. And I think that actually helped us in the elections last fall, which is partly why the Democrats put some pressure on him to resign. And I do want to give the credit to who it deserves for on the Republican side, helping Madigan resign. The party itself has had a fire boss Madigan program going on for years, I think, over dating back to Pat Brady's days. It was continued by Jack Dorgan and as well as by Tim Schneider. And so he has been our favorite target for a long time. But Governor Rauner also campaigned heavily against Madigan and spent a lot of money, more money than we could, to attack Mike Madigan. I think until he resigned, at some point I saw a poll that showed that Madigan's favorable rating was only like 7 percent. You're right. We've lost our favorite target, and that's a good point. But on the other hand, Chairman Madigan was a brilliant Democrat strategist, and he consolidated their power. He consolidated their resources. And he managed Democrats in both the House and statewide. And people think these kind of jobs are easy, but they're more like herding cats than anything else. Mike Madigan was excellent at herding the cats in the Democrat Party. He was excellent at strategy. He was excellent at winning races. I doubt that his successors are going to be at least immediately successful at doing all those things at the same time that he was. And as a result, I think that will present some opportunities and openings for the Republican Party. I also think that that might even lead to some unforced errors or fumbles by Democratic leadership. So I think overall it's an advantage to the Illinois Republican Party and to the state as a whole that Chairman Madigan has resigned.
You're listening to News Radio 780's At Issue. I'm Craig Dellamore. My guest is Don Tracy, the new chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. Well, I've got to turn at least a bit to the literal elephant in the room. It's kind of hard to ignore that the GOP seems torn between Republicans who say the party has no future without Donald Trump and those who say there's no future with him calling the shots. How does a chairman of a Republican Party in Illinois wade into a debate like that, or do you wade into it?
Well, my job, my number one job is to unite the party. So I guess you can try to do that by ignoring the elephant in the room. But I'm not a believer in ignoring issues and problems. It is the biggest issue relative to party unity. We have basically three wings of the Republican Party. We have those that are pro-Trump no matter what. We have those that are never Trump no matter what. And then we have what I think is probably the largest wing of the party, or people who love the Trump policies, but weren't so fond of his style and his tweets. And my job is to unite all three wings. And Craig, if you have any ideas on how to do that, I'm all ears. I tell everybody that. I'm getting pressure on both sides at almost every day. I mean, I have my pro-Trump friends and allies insisting I need to censure Adam Kinzinger for his impeachment vote and other votes. And then I have my never-Trumper friends insisting that I need to support Adam Kinzinger and helping raise funds. And I need to censure the Republican county parties that are censuring Adam Kinzinger.
And how do you bring those people to the middle? Because it sounds like you're being called on to pick a side, and that the party's being called on to pick a side, and they are completely mutually exclusive of each other. What steps can you take to bring people into the same big tent that everybody always talks about?
Well, you are absolutely right about that, Craig. I can't pick sides. As party chair, I have to be neutral in primaries. And the Adam Kinzinger primary has already, in effect, started, assuming he's going to run for reelection. And not knowing what his district is going to be, there's at least there's at least three candidates out there that have signed up to oppose Adam in a primary. And so as chair, I have to be neutral in that regard. But what I tell people on the when they ask me about, when they try to get me to change sides, is I tell everybody, as I'll tell you, I disagree strongly with Adam's impeachment vote. I think that was a Democrat ploy to divide Republicans that a few Republicans kind of joined in on, though I know Adam views it as a vote of conscience. So I disagree with his vote. But on the other hand, Adam has voted 90% on Trump policies, supported Trump policies 90% plus, has been a solid Republican voice for many, many years. I met him when I ran for lieutenant governor in 2010, shared the stage with him a couple times, very impressed with him. He's been extremely active since then. He's a veteran and has helped Republicans throughout the state for all that time. So he's been a solid Republican.
Yeah, and I feel compelled to also point out that he voted for Donald Trump in the last election. So
exactly. So, you know, my job is to grow the church, not shrink it. And I don't think you grow the Republican Party by excommunicating either the anti-Kinzingers or the pro-Kinzingers. But that begs the question, your main question is, with that going on, with people feeling so strongly about that, how do we unite the party? Well, the Democrats will help us do that, I hope, by becoming increasingly progressive and increasingly socialistic and increasingly anti-police. And it seems like almost anti-open open schools. But more important, I think we unite the Republican Party on our common core values. I mean, you know, basically all of us, all the Republicans I mentioned, the pro-Trump, the never Trump, the middle group, we're all conservatives. And we agree on the, you know, core conservative values, you know, like honest government and strong families, strong public safety, a strong economy, and things like that, strong freedoms. And so that's my approach, is to and not focus on the things that divide us, but focus on the things that unite us, and emphasize that if we don't unite, you know, it's kind of like what Ben Franklin said, we either hang together or we hang separately. It's a matter of survival for the Republican Party to unite in Illinois, as the Democrats are accumulating power in Illinois and nationally, they're not afraid to use it. In the past, Republicans have had power, and you know, we were, you know, the party of compromise, and you know, being reasonable and all that. And that's my personal style and approach, but it's not the Democrats' approach, and they are going to crush us more than they have already if we, as the Republicans, don't unite on our core values and elect more Republicans throughout the state of Illinois.
Now, even though leadership of the party at this moment is, as you pointed out earlier, divided, Governor Pritzker did not win passage of the graduated income tax that he wanted. His choice for party chair, Alderwoman Michelle Harris, wasn't successful. But on the other hand, he can single-handedly outspend the Illinois Republican Party campaign war chest if he wants to. So do you consider him a formidable opponent, or do you see him as somewhat weakened?
Well, we, for the reasons you cite, Craig, we see Governor Pritzker as being very vulnerable, maybe the most vulnerable statewide candidate. His approval ratings have plummeted over the past year, and he's taken some extreme positions. He's embraced the anti-police movement by signing legislation to that effect. He's embraced even political indoctrination of school children. But more than that, he has, we think, mismanaged the pandemic by calling for excessive lockdowns as opposed to more targeted, more regional lockdown approach. He has claimed to have the power to lock down even churches and freedom of assembly in terms of religion. But yet he has no power. He claims he doesn't have the power to reopen the schools. He has, we're a year into the pandemic. He still can't get unemployment checks to the people who desperately need those checks on a timely basis. His excuse is that it takes 3 to 6 months to hire a state employee. The state employee is needed at IDS to process checks. So he has the power to close down the state, close down the economy, close down mom and pop shops, all the bars and restaurants, churches, et cetera. But he doesn't have the power to cut red tape and hire an employee in less than 3 to 6 months for the state. That is ridiculous. That's incompetence, is what it is. He also hasn't had the ability to get FOID cards out on a timely basis. He he won't let high school sport, you know, school, you know, science. He claims that his lockdowns are totally based on science, but the science says that schools can reopen safely. The parochial schools have showed us how to do it. But he hasn't been able to do it. States all around us have been able to have high school sports safely. He kept that happening until recently. So we think for all that reason, there are a lot of disenchanted Pritzker supporters out there. There's a lot of anti-Pritzker signs throughout downstate anyway. I've heard there's some up in the Chicagoland area. We have a campaign going called Fire Pritzker that has our own signs in that regard, which you can get on our website. So, yes, going up against a billionaire governor with the kind of money he has is a challenge. It may seem like David versus Goliath. Certainly the Illinois Republican Party versus the Democrat Party in Illinois is David versus Goliath. But David won. And we don't have to have the exact parity to win. There's March Madness, a basketball tournament going on. It's not always the biggest and strongest school that wins the NCAA Final Four. So we have a lot of energy on the grassroots side. I know a lot of people in the Never Trumper wing of the party are very disenchanted with the Democrats are doing nationally and statewide. And so I'm hoping they will come back to help the Illinois Republican Party, and I think they will. So yes, I like our chances of defeating Governor Pritzker. We need to have the right candidate, and we have a lot of good candidates that are either announced or I think are going to announce, and we're going to have a robust primary. So I'm very optimistic about winning that particular race.
Can you give me a sense of who are the rising stars in the party right now? In the couple of minutes that we have left?
Well, I'm only 60 days into the job, so I don't think I can I can do that yet. I'm trying to get to know everybody. I mean, I ran for lieutenant governor in 2010, and I'm amazed people still remember me from then. I stayed politically active then. I formed an independent campaign to raise money and run ads for Governor Rauner in 2014 in the Central Illinois area, and so I think I helped elect Rauner in that regard. But then he appointed me to the gaming board, and I couldn't be politically active there, so I was out of politics for 4 years. But I've gotten back in since then, and like I said, I'm very relieved, delighted, I guess, that people still remember me from 2010. But still, I need to get more around to get to know the rising stars and throughout Illinois before I think I can answer that question.
Well, very quickly, you talked about uniting the church, getting everybody into the church. Is the church growing? Do you see another generation coming along?
Well, we certainly need to do a better job in expanding the party to all segments of society, including women, minorities, and certainly including youth. That we have a lot of work to do with the youth vote, and that's one of our key priorities. And we have. More and more, we have some, Avery Bourne, I can mention her easily. I think she just was elected to the Central Committee. She's a young state representative, she is certainly a rising star in the party. And we need more people like Avery Bourne. There's a guy by the name of Scott Grider. I give a shout out to Scott. He's a chair of the county board in Kendall, and he actually ran for my job and I think actually did a better job presenting credentials than I did. But I guess being maybe more experienced, I got the nod instead of Scott, but I think he's a guy we're going to hear about more. And he's, I think, in his 30s.
We're going to have to stop the list there because we're out of time. I would like to thank Illinois Republican Party Chairman Don Tracy for spending the half hour with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at WBBMNewsRadio.com. You can also find our podcast on radio.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.